Well, I think it is very unfortunate, sir. The problem really is that Parliament has not been recognized as one of the three pillars of the state. It has been relegated to just another branch or a government department, and such expected to stand in a queue behind the other government department. What we believe is that the legislature is one of the three arms of the state, must be given its due recognition when it comes to priority. Resources must be allocated in such a way that the parliament is able to operate normally and not have a situation where members of parliament come to transact parliamentary business and they are not given fuel coupons to enable them to travel. And more importantly, they have difficulties in securing accommodation. At the same time, they have never had a decision where cabinet, for instance, failed to sit, or where cabinet ministers failed to travel abroad for government business.
Mr. Janda, your thoughts on this?
I do agree with the Honorable Honest, but my only difference is that in power is not given, it's taken. Parliament is with all the legal powers that it has. But I don't think that parliamentarians, in fairness, they are exercising those powers. And as a result, most of the issues, we tend to blame them on government, particularly if you need input of budget. Yes, the country is in fairness, the economy is upside down, the resources are not there in terms of money. But as the country, the resources are vast, are there. We have been the country endowed with mineral resources, everything, the people, the climate, the soil, the weather, everything that other countries don't have. So if parliament cannot really perform its oversight function over the executive, then obviously the resources are not going to be there. They're not just going to come from the AIEGC. So parliament must play its oversight role effectively.
So why is parliament failing to do this, Mr. Janda? You know, you sit on the Welfare Portfolio Committee for parliamentarians. What are you doing about this?
I champion the cause of parliamentarians in terms of demanding what is the thing they should be entitled to. This is a separate exercise in my function as chairman of the Budget and Portfolio Committee of Parliament and Parliament as a whole. Parliament as a whole has brought it to the attention of parliamentarians, including this interview, that I think Parliament can be instrumental to the outcome of this economy more than what it is doing at the moment, particularly with its powers of providing oversight on the executive, where Parliament is empowered to call all ministers, everybody, except the President alone, to come and appear before it and answer questions in relation to the performance of every ministry, every department, etc. We have got the power.
So, Mr. Gonese, since Parliament has these powers, why is it failing to perform these functions?
Well, I differ slightly to Comrade Janda, because one must appreciate that where we are, whatever parliamentarians will do, that can end up being a misconstrued. If, for instance, government doesn't provide that the necessary resources, and then parliamentarians say that they are not going to attend to certain functions because sufficient resources have not been allocated to it, they will be misunderstood. People will be thinking that parliamentarians are only thinking of their own stomach. But the bottom line really is that there should be a paradigm shift. We must have an appreciation that Parliament is one of the three pillars of the state. And when it comes to the allocation of resources, we have actually said time and again that when it comes to prioritizing things, must ensure that Parliament is able to function. And now when we have a situation where Parliament, for instance, is now sitting only in a group base, we should have started the fifth session of Parliament around July, August of this year. That has not happened. As a result, committees of Parliament are not functioning. And when that's about the money alone, so there's actually a situation where we are still in the fourth session simply because a date has not been set aside for the official opening of the fifth session. And that is a function which can only be done by the head of state. Parliament cannot only phone literally set a date because we need the head of state to come and perform that function of opening as the chief station. There, you can see it's actually a question of attitude, whereby the GCA for the institution. We don't have the chief which can buy.
Many observers are saying that they don't feel sympathy for the parliamentarians, especially when they hear that Parliament only sat once, and that MPs are just complaining too much when in some constituencies they are not actually working to the satisfaction of their constituencies. So, Mr. Janda, how can you respond to this?
But it's also fair to say this latest development in terms of Parliament being another to sit is only this year. But we are talking of other years that we have been in Parliament. As much as what I'm saying is that You see, Parliament, you know, it's a question of what comes first. I think first is that you start distributing wealth when you have generated it. You know, you start doing some those allocations or budget allocations when you anticipate or when you get the resources. But so first and foremost, you must mobilize the resources when you allocate. So what I'm saying is the role of Parliament is to make sure that it plays its role to the extent that the economy is functioning and you get the incentive to account and put in policies which will stimulate economic growth. And as a result, you increase the revenue base. And when you increase the revenue base, you get the resources now then to distribute. So those are my arguments. And also, I said, you know, when one wants to take an example of what happened last year, the fact that the revenue collection exercise was achieved, you know, the budget performed so much in terms of revenue collection, especially over above the anticipated revenue collection. But yet, in terms of expenditure, that is, certain allocations were not made, despite the fact that the revenue collection target was met. And these allocations were not made. The minister came to Parliament and experimented with the budget without MPs knowing, without MPs questioning. And that resulted in us not being able to be allocated our constitutional development fund, which I believe, irrespective of that, a few MPs have misused the CDF. But it does not mean that when a snake goes into the house, you must put the house under fire. So what we should have done is that the constitutional development fund is an instrument where it's the fairest instrument of distributing capital, particularly when government cannot meet its own capital obligation. You know, if you want to look take stock of what the other MPs did with the $50,000 in 2010, it's enormous capital development that took place in certain constituencies because they got $50,000. Therefore, in fact, it would be a better situation where government is direct its capital expenditure towards that avenue of capital.
Mr. Janda, what about the other question where I said observers are saying that parliamentarians are complaining too much about money when they're not working properly in some of their constituencies?
Well, you know, it depends on how do you measure the effectiveness of parliamentarians. How do you measure the effectiveness? You know what I mean? You measure the effectiveness because of what they do in their constituencies or because of their participation in parliament. And one must not forget that we play a dual role. That of developmental nature, which should be our mandate, for developmental nature, and that of the legislative aspects. So, to complain that parliamentarians are not considering also the size of positions, I think it's not fair, considering again the limited resources that parliamentarians are given. In that fact, most of the parliamentarians are more broke than what they can give a stage at parliament. Because it's a job that people don't realize that you use your own resources in order to maintain your constituency and be able to go to and fro from Parliament.
Mr. Gonese, your response to
yes,
this?
Yes, I can also add on that in the sense that, you know, you've got a representative role. So when you are performing your representative role, you don't have to be in Harare. You'll be doing that in the community. I believe that most of the members of Parliament are very visible in their constituencies. They hold meetings using their own resources. And by the way, members of parliament have not been paid a sitting allowance since November of last year. And yet, they are still able to perform their function. So when it comes to the sittings of parliament, that is not of the MPs making, because as I pointed out earlier, we are now sitting on an ad hoc basis because we have not officially commenced the session of parliament. Should not be criticized for something for which they are not responsible. And I want to emphasize the fact that parliamentarians are also doing other things which are not even within the official mandate. We have a situation where people expect parliamentarians to provide them with moving, to develop roads, and so on and so forth. When in fact, that is work which should be done, some of it by candidates and some of it should be done by elected representatives, but parliamentarians don't have a big one. Try to assist because we're voting in our community. And I believe that the 50 seasons which are being leveled against MPs are actually unfair and they are unwarranted, they are unjustified. At the end of the day, parliamentarians are very eager to carry out their work, but they are being hampered by the failure of the executive to ensure that adequate resources are put in place to enable the members to carry out their work.